Professor Nicole Bell, I'm the president of the Australian Institute of Physics.
I'm Dr. Xanthi Coote. I'm a lecturer in quantum science at the University of Sydney.
Okay, Xanthi, I'll start with you. Now, most of us, we're probably on top of gravity, what you might call intuitive physics. Newton was describing something that I guess we all kind of understand. Every action has an equal and opposite reaction. I know how to drop an apple. But we get into quantum and things get a little bit wobblier, certainly for me. So let's start with briefly what we're talking about when we're trying to understand what actually is quantum science. What are you looking at?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I think that we all, whether or not we know it, have a fairly intuitive understanding of some of the rules of classical physics. But what happens as you start breaking matter down into smaller and smaller and smaller parts is you get to the level of atoms and light. And when we're talking about really small things like atoms and light, actually the rules that we use to describe things at the level we're used to really stop working. And instead, what we have to use are the laws of quantum mechanics to describe the behavior of the world at the very small scale. So things like energy. So if I kind of throw you a ball, that ball can have a large amount of energy. If I throw it hard at you, it can have a small amount of energy. If I throw it really gently at you. But in quantum physics, things like an electron in an atom is only allowed to have really specific values of energy. It can't just have any value of energy that it wants. There are also things like the electrons. You might want to think of them as tiny little particles, but they can actually, at the quantum level, behave both like a particle and a wave. So electrons can do things like interfere with other electrons in the same way that waves can interfere with each other. And also we often, instead of talking about things that are definite, in quantum mechanics, we talk about probabilities. So if I throw you a ball, you can say that ball definitely has a certain position at a certain time, and we know that. Whereas when we talk about things at the quantum level, often the best that we can do is describe not the electron's position, but the probability that we find an electron at a particular point in space. And so the world really behaves quite differently at the quantum level than it does at the level that we're used to.
Quite differently is a gentle way of putting it. Nicole, like am I right? My layman's understanding, the classical physics is the stuff we can touch, the stuff we can toss, the stuff we can throw. This quantum realm, that we can't necessarily do that quite as easily. Is that
it doesn't match our intuition in the same way? I really like the throwing the ball analogy. You throw a tennis ball, we know where it's going to go, we know where it's going to land. But in quantum mechanics, we just don't know for sure what's going to happen. There's not one single possible outcome, but there are different possibilities for what can happen. And we won't actually know which one of those things happen until we take a measurement and figure out what did actually happen this time. And it's not random. We can figure out mathematically the probability of this thing happening or something else happening. But the fact that there's not one outcome is part of the quantum weirdness, which doesn't match our everyday intuition about how the world works. The fact that there's multiple outcomes is actually one of the things that makes quantum mechanics powerful. When we come to talk about quantum computers, the fact that there are multiple possibilities will be harnessed to make quantum computers very much more powerful than regular computers. So we can use this weirdness and this promise of quantum mechanics, but it is something that we don't have intuition about because our world is the world of the very big, not the world of the teeny tiny.
You mentioned quantum computing just there. I wonder if we could follow that up. Quantum computing sounds a little bit like science fiction, I think, to a lot of people. But there are examples of technologies that we're using today that have been made possible because of our understanding of quantum science. Is that right? Can you just give me a few examples of what we're talking about?
So there is a lot of quantum mechanics in everyday technology that we now take for granted well before we get to quantum computing. So if you think about sort of technology that we all take for granted these days, like lasers and computer chips in your smartphone and medical imaging using MRI scanners and this sort of thing, all of that uses quantum mechanics. Anything that uses electrons or light or anything involving subatomic particles ultimately relies upon the laws of quantum mechanics. And in some sense, that's old technology. That was sort of quantum revolution one, if you like. But a second quantum revolution is coming, and that second quantum revolution is going to involve things like quantum computers.
Okay, Xanthi, now you've got the hard job. What is the next revolution in quantum technology going to look like?
One technology that people, including myself, work on is quantum computing, these types of computers that potentially can solve problems that your normal computers just can't solve because they don't use these kind of quantum mechanical properties. These quantum computers are at a point where they're really starting to get bigger than they've ever been in the past. There are still some kind of big challenges that people are facing in building them that we're starting to make a lot of breakthroughs in. Questions like, how do we store information in these quantum computers for long enough that we can do really useful and interesting things with them? And people are really, both in Australia and all over the world, are starting to make big leaps in, you know, the scale and the length of time that we can make quantum computers last. Beyond quantum computing, there are a lot of technologies across Australia that people are working on using quantum mechanics that I think have really big implications for society. So things like solar cell technology, how do we use quantum mechanics to make solar cells that are more efficient? People in Australia are working on navigation systems using quantum physics that don't need to rely on GPS. We're also trying to use quantum physics to develop sensors that are some of the most sensitive sensors that we have to things like magnetic fields. They can detect very, very small magnetic fields or changes in magnetic fields. And that kind of opens up a lot of opportunities in sensing as well.
I should say that Xanthi emphasised a lot of Australian technology under development, and it's really the case that Australia is a leader in quantum science. We punch way above our weight in quantum science in this country, and that's a result of significant investment in quantum programs in our universities over the last couple of decades, which are really now paying off.
Now, Nicole, you're president of the Australian Institute of Physics. You do a lot of work using quantum science to search for dark matter. Talk to us about what you're doing and how you're using quantum science to...
It's not just about technology. I work on particle physics and astrophysics. I work on understanding what the universe is made out of, and the universe is made out of dark matter to a large degree. And these are microscopic particles, just like electrons. And just like electrons, you need the laws of quantum mechanics to understand what this matter is. A lot of understanding the universe as a whole, things to do with astrophysics, how black holes work, all of this requires quantum mechanics. So it's something that sort of is the foundation for not just technology, but for the most part, all of modern physics.
Now, it's quantum year. What do you hope to get out of it? Why do you think that it's important that we have a quantum year?
So the Australian Institute of Physics plans to use the International Year of Quantum to celebrate, educate, inspire students to study science, to study maths, to gain the skills, to enable them to engage in a whole bunch of high-tech careers that are, you know, going to be in the pipeline, built on these technologies. And this is an international year proclaimed by the United Nations. So these sorts of celebrations are going to be going on around the world, and so Australia has a big quantum presence. We want to be part of this, and we want to communicate it to everybody in Australia.